Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that no matter what, you don't make any mistakes in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you continue to give us your blessings, that you continue to give us your love, that you're always looking to do good for us and for your church. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, this morning that we are able to gather around your word today and that we are able to consider what it has to say and let it speak to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us now with your understanding. Teach us today. Help us to know your truth. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles today, open them up with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and then just hold your finger there, and we'll get there in just a few minutes. Now, we have been studying through our statement of faith, and we have made it through every statement except for one, and that is our statement talking about future events and the book of Revelation, which should be very exciting. Now, I had planned on laying the groundwork for that study this morning by considering how God communicates with his people. However, the Lord has directed me to set aside that study for another time. And instead, for now, bring you another message. So let's begin this morning by asking ourselves one question. How much does Jesus love his church?
Just said mucho.
Oh, a lot. Yes. Okay. Thank you. How much does Jesus love his church? Now, we have been studying the church, and we know that Jesus designed his church to be directly linked to Christianity. Now, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." In fact, in most of the letters that we see written in the New Testament from the apostles, they are addressed to a church, the unit of the body of believers that Jesus calls his family. Even in Revelation, the apostle John is recording Jesus' letter to seven different churches, not to individual Christians, but to his church. Now, this shows us that Jesus' church is very important to him. He does not take it lightly when anyone attacks his church or tries to destroy it, because Jesus wants his church to not just survive, but he wants it to thrive. Now, think about it. Jesus stopped Saul in his tracks when Saul thought he was doing the right things, when he was going out and following all the things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees said that would be good things, including grabbing Christians and throwing them into prison. He was stopped along the road one day by Jesus, who called out to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting the church?" He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my church?" He identified himself with the church body, because Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we are part of his body. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" This is Jesus. He takes it personally. He cares for those who are in his church family. He doesn't want anything to happen to them. He wants to guide them and love them and care for them. And we know that God loved the world enough to send Jesus to die for our sins, but Jesus declares in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that his blood was shed for his church. Not just mankind or a certain group, you know, just these people over here, but for his church specifically. Verse 28 says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Let's take a look at our text today in John chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 9. Let me give you a little context as to what is going on in this text. Jesus is talking to his disciples, okay? Now, this isn't one of those conversations that we see in an event in history that just happened and it was a nice conversation and he just talked with them and it means nothing to us. Because what Jesus is talking to about the disciples, he is educating them on how we as Christians need to live and as his church need to follow him. Look with me at verse 9. Jesus said, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." Now, Jesus loves us. He loved us enough to come to this earth and sacrifice his life for us. He wants us to not just know his love. He wants us to abide in it, to remain in it, which means that we need to be obedient to him and follow him and his design for his ministry. Look with me at verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, if we obey the teachings of Jesus Christ, we will be close to him just as he wants. And we will both abide in his love and in his Father's. Now, let me clarify something for a moment. This text is not suggesting that we can lose our salvation if we do not abide by God's commands. If one day, years after our salvation, we decide that we start kind of falling away and we're no longer following God's commands, it doesn't mean that our salvation is lost. What he is suggesting here is that in order to secure and have a bond of unity in a good relationship with both Jesus Christ and his Father, we need to yield our will to him and obey. Look with me at verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Now, Jesus has joy in obeying his Father. And so he suggests that we will have joy obeying him and wanting to follow him. Even if his path for our lives is not what we are expecting, still if we follow that path instead of our own, we will have joy and contentment. Let's continue in verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Now, Jesus is the head of the church. We are part of his body. We are also part of his family. Now, he loves us and he has laid his life down for us. Jesus loves his church, and he wants the best for his church, and he never attempts to hurt his church, but always looks to build it up. Now, in this text, he is giving us help to see how we do just that. We obey, and we follow, and we love as he loves. And even when we go to the Lord and we say, "Lord, please help me," We don't just lay down on the couch and stare at the ceiling and wait for him to help us. We pray for the help, and then we keep moving forward, following him and obeying him and letting him take care of things. But he's not going to take care of things for us if we're just stagnant and we're not moving forward. Now, Jesus didn't love in a certain manner. He loves in a certain manner. His love did not stop at his death. He continues with the same abundant love for his church today as he had when he went to the cross. I want to take a few minutes and focus on just this one verse, verse 16, because it's very important. I want to look back here. John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Now, Jesus chose his 12 disciples, but he also chose those who would be his church, both you and I. Now, if you think about it just for a moment, the Holy Spirit began a work in you, not by accident, not because he was just traveling along the way and skipped and fell, tripped into your heart and started doing a work there. Nope. He purposed to do a work in your heart, which means that he chose you. You didn't one day say, "You know what, I want God," without ever thinking about God before. The Holy Spirit worked in your heart. He went directly for you because you were chosen by God. Now, we were chosen to bear fruit, to obey him, to follow as he directs. We weren't just chosen to have eternal life one day in heaven. A lot of people look at the idea of salvation as just the perk for the fire insurance. But that's not why we were chosen. Heaven is a perk, but it's like a bonus at the end of things, okay? Where we were chosen to follow Jesus Christ. We were chosen to live wholeheartedly for God, to obey him, to go out in the world and proclaim his name. He chose us and gave us the specific tools that we need to have in order to accomplish his tasks. And he gives us help in everything. Because here, as it says, whatever we ask in his Father's name is given to us. Now again, he gives us everything to accomplish his purpose. I'll just clarify that. If I'm on my knees praying for that blue Ford Raptor, it doesn't mean I'm going to get it. The blue truck I really have always wanted and I really want, God may not give me that. That's not filling the need, you know, per se, you know, whatever. But that's me. That might be me asking, but that's not me asking in my Father's name for something that's going to glorify my Heavenly Father. Now, often we take things in life and we say, well, I could use this for the ministry. You know, if God provided me with this new car that fit more people, I could go pick people up for church and I could get them more people here and do different things and so on. And we figure out ways to kind of justify in our mind how we can get this new toy and figure it out. We're like, Lord, I mean, if you want to bless me with this ministry, this awesome ministry opportunity, it'd be great. But that's still us. He knows the intentions of our hearts. We can't fool God. But that's not asking in our Father's name for something that he is going to be able to be used for him to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. When God sets something before us and there's a struggle or a trial or something, a hurdle that we need to go over, God's going to provide it. And he wants us to go to him and just lay it at his feet and say, look, there's no way I'm going to be able to take care of this on my own, Lord. Whatever you want to do is great because I need your help. Now, Sometimes God does not answer our prayer as we expect. And we've all heard the phrase, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And I would say that the Lord works in a way that is perfect and that looks at every single angle, not just the single one that we can see. 2 weeks ago, I was spending extra time on my knees before the Lord. I was focusing on the truths, on two of these truths from the faith race blocks, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Both of them were pointing me to the act of supplication. Let me clarify what supplication is. Supplication is when we earnestly seek the Lord. It's when we're getting on our knees and we're pleading to God for something specific. We're not just coming, you know, asking for world peace, okay? That's a very vague but large, you know, thing. And he is going to bring world peace, but it's not going to be today. So will be in the future. Mark my words, world peace is coming, okay? But we're going to wait until Jesus comes back to this earth for world peace to happen. But when we go to him in supplications, when we're asking for something specific, maybe in our life, or if we're praying, say, maybe for the salvation of someone else, and we just plead that out before the Lord and just really spend some serious time pleading for help. Well, I was pleading for help. Specifically, help in finishing the projects around the church. In the last 3 years, I've balanced my pastoral duties with needed repairs and updates around here, and the task never seems to stop. And because of the age of the building, many of the repairs ended up being bigger than expected, and many of the issues ended up being very questionable and having to take much longer time, and it has become the job that will never end. Now, more recently, God has laid on my heart the need to get ready to open our doors, all of our doors, for what he has prepared. This reminds me of the analogy of the two farmers who were praying for rain, but only one was preparing for the rain. Now, I know that God wants us to prepare for the rain, and that is to come, but we are a small church with little people and little resources. How can we possibly get ready? Well, this was my question. This was my pleading to the Lord. I said to him, Lord, if you want us to get ready, you have to send the help to get these projects done. And then I asked for something very specific, because we're taught in the Bible to pray specifically, okay? And I love God. I love God no matter what, but God has a great sense of humor, and sometimes we don't see it until later. But I asked him for this specific thing. I asked for a man to come to the church who was handy and knew how to fix things and who had the time to spend at least a couple days a week to finish these tasks. I imagined in my mind some handyman that just had all this time on his hand that could come and help me, and I would work along together. And I knew that if God wanted it to happen, it would happen. And I made sure I didn't doubt at all, because I said, Lord, I know I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to be like, yeah, provide me your handyman. I know he's not going to show up. No, I was wholeheartedly confident that God would answer. And then I asked again, you know, I'm asking in God's name, and I know that he's going to provide. Well, that Saturday morning, Jerry and I walked in. It was a project day. Marianne came to do some gardening stuff, and Jerry was like, I'll do whatever you want to do. And I was like, great, I got this project indoors. Let's go. We open up the door into the office, and there's a water leak, and the ceiling is all messed up, and the ceiling in the next room is all messed up, and the kitchen is all messed up. And then the fellowship hall bathroom is all messed up, and there's water everywhere, and we're trying to run around and figure out everything that's going on. And we're scrambling, trying to get repairs, and he's calling and finding a plumber to call, and and all these different things that were going on, and it was a really big problem. And as I'm looking at this, I'm scrambling around trying to take care of all of this, and then this thought came into my mind. Wait a minute. I was just praying for help this last week, Lord. What in the world are you doing? Because I don't know about you guys, but if you do the math, extra projects do not help to get it done. So I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here. And we were looking around at all the different water pipes here on the sanctuary side and in the fellowship hall. They are all original galvanized, which only have a life of like 40 years or something, 40 or 50 years, and we've gotten 60 years out of them, or more, actually more from this unit, because since it was put in the 40s. Well, so we've definitely have our money worth, but as we looked at the one pipe that got cut off, you could barely look down to see any light coming through because there was rust around the whole outside of it, and it was just rusting right through. Now, surprisingly, finding this damage, it didn't totally wreck me. I was just as confident then as I am today that God has a greater purpose in everything. Now, I can stop and question and be like, are you crazy? But at the same time, I come back and be like, okay, Lord, I know you have a purpose in this. All right, what are you going to do? And I know, again, that he's not trying to destroy his church. He wants his church to thrive. So then what is he doing? Because this looks like a whole lot of work to me. Well, Jerry called our insurance group and they sent some contractors to help clean and get things back on track. And they've been here all week and have had so many things that I've had to do with them. It's just kept me super busy. In fact, I was going to have someone fill in for me this morning. I was going to have my brother-in-law Miguel fill in with me this morning. But then the Lord put another message on my heart today. So, but I was so busy and so on, and I anticipated being busy not just this week, but next week and maybe even the following week, that I went ahead and I contacted my brother Greg to see if he could fill in for me up the following week. And he was already swamped with some other things. But he offered someone else from the BJU seminary to preach, who contacted me right away, and he was excited for the chance to preach. I was like, hey, okay, you're really excited. That's fantastic. I'll plug you in. That's great, because we need the help. Well, then my brother said something. He said, you know, the seminary is off for the summer. If you want how many ever guys you want to preach, I've got a list as long as your arm that you can have come in fill for you. They all want to preach. They're excited to preach. So we could totally fill that pulpit if you want. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll get back to that. And then suddenly it occurred to me that God was answering, but not in the way I was expecting. Because I was looking that God would answer through this door, and instead he answered through this door. And I'm looking at it like, wait a minute. What's going on? So a little bit further in conversation with my brother, and I see God's answer. I asked specifically, and he answered with exactly what I asked for. A man who was handy and knew how to fix things and who had the time to spend at least a couple days a week to finishing these tasks. Now, God wasn't sending me someone to help me physically with these tasks. He was simply using me in a different manner. And he was filling my responsibility in the pulpit with other men through a digital connection. He still answered the same prayer. He just had them free me up with several hours on their side and taking on the time with the pulpit. Now, this means that we're going to be taking a reprieve from finishing our study of Revelation. Now, it also means that I will not be preaching on Sunday mornings or teaching for MIT until we get these tasks completed so that we can be open for our full ministry. Now, God has laid on my heart that we need to be ready by September to fully open these doors with a complete building and all major repairs finished. And I'm confident that with me working on these projects and what I can get help from who I can glean from others that time we can meet God's timetable. Now, let me make mention that just because we have been preaching digitally doesn't mean that we should use this as an excuse to all stay home. We need to still be coming together, to be coming together and encouraging each other and helping each other. We need to gather as often as we can so that we can be that encouragement and see how the Lord is providing. Now, there are two more things that we need to consider. One is that the contractor that is doing all of the insurance work will be able to provide us with some extra labor to finish some of our bigger tasks. Now, ones that would normally take us a very long time to accomplish, they can finish in simply a day. Plus, we have all of the material, or most of the material for the work. We just have to pay for the labor. Now, this is a benefit to us because these are all licensed professionals with permits already pulled, so there's no questions on different things and how they came into play. And we are right at that point, right before summer, where we have wiggle room and not a whole lot of things going on. Whereas once we hit summer, everyone is going to be super busy. Now again, number two is that we need to replace the pipes. And that's going to be an unexpected cost. One that we do not have budgeted for, but one that is absolutely necessary to have completed before we have another big insurance claim on our hand. God is opening up the opportunity for us to be wise stewards of the building that he has provided us. And I believe that we need to honor him and trust in him through this process. Now again, this is going to take some unexpected finances. So before you ask me, is this going to take some unexpected finances? Yes, it will. But God has already answered in some amazing ways that I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. And I know that he is going to continue to take care of the details for us as long as we put our faith and trust in him. Now, none of these things are to break us as a church. God is using these circumstances as opportunities to get this place in shape and ready to receive the blessings that he is waiting to give us. We simply need to pray, wait on him, and continue to push forward while he works to answer. And we need to get ourselves ready to be used for him. This morning I was reflecting on Mark chapter 6 and Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was teaching throughout the day and he was tired by the time it was starting to get dinner time. I expect the disciples were getting hungry because they ran to Jesus and said, you need to let these people go for the day so they can go out and buy food in the local towns or go home and get whatever food that they can. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, you feed them. And his disciples looked back at him and they're like, "Are you? There's 5,000 men here. We don't know how many children and women that there were as well. There's like, there's 5,000. It would take 200 denarii to fill all these people up with food. And 200 denarii is a year's worth of wages. And there's like, there's no way that we can provide for them. They said, we don't have that kind of food. We don't have that kind of resources. And Jesus said, well, what do you have? Bring me whatever you have and I will bless it and I will give it out. So they brought him the five loaves and the two fish, and he blessed it and he fed everyone there. In fact, they had leftovers. Everyone was full. Everyone didn't just get a bite. They were full and had leftovers. I was thinking about that. We don't have much. We have a small amount of finances and a small amount of resources, but we have a very powerful God that will bless the resources that he has provided and be able to take them much further than what we expected. He wants to bless those who are faithful to him, those who obey him, those who love him and follow his commands. He wants to bless those that he loves, and he wants to bless his church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you want to bless us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that even amidst trials and circumstances that we're not sure what is going on, what to do, how to respond, that you're always good and you always take care of these needs. We know, Lord, that you want to grow your church, that you want to build on it, that you want to use it to the fullest of capacity, Lord. And I pray that you would use us through this time, that you would bless these meager resources that we have, but use them to the fullest potential. Lord, I know that you can do anything that you want and that you want to see your church thrive. I pray that you would help us to see that. I pray, Lord, that we would follow you in obedience. I pray that we would continue to be servants for you, continue to love you as you love us. Help us not to give up, Lord, but instead to push forward and do what we know would be right. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Well, now, some of you might ask this morning, well, Pastor Jeff, does that mean that we're going to do something like a big carnival or something to raise money? No, we're not going to have a carnival. They have a carnival down the street. We're not going to do that. We're not going to sell magazine subscriptions. We're not going to sell chocolate. If you want to get chocolate and bring it here for me, that's okay, but we're not going to sell it, okay? We're going to pray, and we're going to let God provide, okay? I'm not asking for everybody, or even on the digital realm, I'm not asking you to empty your pockets and start bringing them in. I'm asking for you to pray. And we're going to need prayer moving forward, but I know God is going to take care of these things. Tracy and I are preparing a prayer letter to send out to the many ministries that we're connected with and friends and family and so on. I would encourage you to talk to your friends and family and so on and ask them for prayer in this as well. We'll reach out and we'll just let God take care of the finances. He's an amazing God. He'll take care of these things for us. We don't need to worry, but we definitely need to take some time in prayer for it.